Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mike Buck, Chief Executive Officer of Petromitad Limited, and in accordance with the Articles of Association of the company, I've been nominated by the board to preside as chairperson of this meeting. I'd like to start by welcoming everyone to this annual general meeting of the company. May I start by asking everyone to ensure that their mobile phone and other electronic devices are switched off? All those in attendance in London and Ulaanbaatar have been briefed on emergency evacuation procedures at the respective locations prior to the start of the meeting. There are no fire drills planned today, so if the fire alarm does go off, please evacuate the buildings as quickly as possible. It is just after 8 a.m., and under Article 53 of the Articles of Association of the company, the quorum for an annual general meeting is two members, and as the required quorum is present, I formally declare the meeting open. Before moving to the formal business of the meeting, I would like to take this opportunity to provide a brief summary of the company's activities during 2021 and to update you on the status of activities and our plans for 2022. 2021 was another challenging year due to the coronavirus pandemic, and the impacts were obviously felt planet-wide. In Mongolia, restrictions were of course imposed, but it was still possible to conduct business, and Petromitad is grateful for the flexibility shown by government agencies and authorities. The year's activities were characterized by the continuing process to secure the exploitation license covering the Heron oil discovery and the surrounding prospectivity in Block 20. Ultimately, this process was completed successfully, and the exploitation license was awarded by the Minister of Mining and Heavy Industry in July 2021. Petromitad then raised funds to enable the company to execute the first phase of development on Heron. This will focus on the completion and readying for production of the discovery well and the drilling of additional producers with the goal of establishing a robust and reliable revenue stream at the earliest opportunity. There were a number of formalities required in order to move forward with this program, and so with the exploitation license issued in the third quarter of the year, it was not possible to mobilize and start work before the start of the winter operational shutdown. COVID restrictions in Mongolia and China, where most of Mongolia's active oilfield service companies are based, also had an impact on timing. However, in 2022, we are progressing our operational preparations, and we have successfully negotiated contracts with service providers where we have won some welcome cost reductions compared to previous campaigns. We are now chasing contractors for firm commitments on the timing of and availability of equipment and crews. China's continuing restrictions in response to the pandemic are clearly still causing the Chinese contractors some logistical problems, particularly in the movement of personnel. But with equipment largely already in Mongolia and the service providers seem confident that they will be able to operate efficiently in the 2022 season. Mongolia has recently opened its international borders to all vaccinated travelers with the intention of stimulating business and an economic recovery. An approach by DQE International, Mongolia's most active supplier of drilling and other operational services, proposing that we draw up a cooperation agreement with a view to accelerating Heron development activity in Block 20, is most welcome. A joint working group has been convened to determine if a mutually beneficial arrangement can be established. Meanwhile, we are actively pursuing the permits needed to begin activity in the second quarter of 2022, when the operational season begins in earnest. In particular, we are pushing the government hard to resolve the legal conflicts that confuse the land access issue for all PSC operators in country. We are working with local and central government to resolve this, and so to avoid any repeat of the interruptions we suffered during our 2019 drilling program. Our permitting for installation of surface facilities is also well underway, and discussions are progressing on options to get the oil to market once we are ready to begin production. On the Block 5 exploration PSC in central Mongolia, we have secured the approved environmental permits that had previously been held up due to COVID restrictions. We are now investigating cost-effective drilling operations to determine how and when these could be deployed on the high-impact Velociraptor prospect. In parallel, using our extensive database, we have high-graded areas for reloading the Petromitad acreage portfolio, and we are hopeful that an ongoing initiative within central government to update the petroleum law and PSCs will include some of the changes and incentives that we have proposed to the authorities. We are also looking at finding partners to join us in the new activities we would like to initiate. Our efforts to find a partner to join us in Block 20 exploitation activities also continue, but as we have stated many times before, we will go ahead with phase one of the Heron development with or without a partner. Our review of renewable energy opportunities in Mongolia is continuing. The country has very high potential for both solar and wind generated power, and Petromitad is well placed to involve itself as we have a proven track record and a workforce skilled in project management in the country. We've also signed up some local renewable energy expertise to help us evaluate the opportunities that we consider to be high grade. Not only do we hope this initiative will allow us to get involved in some sustainable revenue generating opportunities, we also hope to deploy some sustainable energy and environmentally beneficial solutions in our Heron field development. 2022 promises to be a busy year, and we look forward to pursuing our program. The board of Petromitad very much appreciates the efforts, dedication and flexibility of our staff and contractors, and of course the continuing support of our shareholders. I would now like to introduce Jerry Smart, our technical and subsurface manager, who is here with me in London today. We also have a satellite meeting in Ulaanbaatar. This is being led by A. Geralt Todd, the executive director of our Mongolian subsidiaries, Gary Neal, our HSSE manager, and T. Hongazol, our corporate manager. We have apologies from our directors D. Enkmer, Tim Bushell, and B. Shinazaya, who unfortunately could not be with us today. Brief biographies and details of areas of expertise for each director are provided on the company's website. Before commencing the formal business of the meeting, I will very briefly explain the procedures we shall follow. The notice convening the meeting sets out 7 resolutions which will be proposed. Before the first resolution is proposed, there will be an opportunity for those who are in attendance to ask questions about any of the resolutions before the meeting. The company has given shareholders opportunity to submit any questions they may have prior to the meeting via email. I will answer these questions on any other matters relating to the company's business after the final resolution has been considered. If you do have a question, please state your name and the capacity in which you are speaking, that is whether you are a shareholder, proxy, or representing a corporate shareholder. I will either answer the questions myself or will refer them to my fellow management team members as appropriate. For all 7 resolutions proposed at today's meeting, I intend to call for a poll. Results of the polls will be announced via RNS following the meeting. I would now like to commence the formal business of the meeting as set out in the Notice of Annual General Meeting dated the 7th of February 2022. This notice includes the 7 resolutions to be proposed at the meeting. With your consent, I propose to take the notice convening the meeting as read. Copies of the directors' current service agreements and letters of appointment and a copy of the proposed new memorandum and articles of association of the company with a copy of the existing memorandum and articles of association marked to show changes being proposed are available for inspection at the meeting venues in London and Ulaanbaatar. I would now like to invite questions on all the resolutions to be put before the meeting today. Any questions on any other matters relating to the company's business shall be answered after the final resolution has been considered. This will ensure that we proceed with the formal business of the meeting in a timely and orderly fashion. Are there any questions from those attending in person in London?
No questions.
There are no questions in London. Are there any questions from those attending in person in Ulaanbaatar relating to the resolutions? There are no questions from Ulaanbaatar. I will now hand over to the operator to take questions from the phone lines. Natalie?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the first question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone. If you change your mind and wish to remove your question, please press star followed by 2. One moment for the first question, please. So there are no telephone questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. As there are no questions at this time, we move to the agenda and the resolutions contained in the notice. As I have decided that a poll shall be taken for all the resolutions, I will first start by setting out the respective resolutions with the respective proxies before we move on to the poll procedure. Resolution number one, to receive and adopt the annual report and accounts. The director's report and the audited accounts of the company for the year ended 31st of December 2020, together with the auditor's report for these accounts, have been in your hands for the statutory period. With your permission, I will take them as read. In relation to resolution one, the company received in total 204,220,885 proxy votes in favor, 4,781,250 proxy votes against, and 5,650 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number two, appointment of the auditor and power of directors to fix the auditor's remuneration. Next business is the appointment of the company's auditor, Bentleys WA Pty Limited, now known as Hall Chadwick WA Audit Pty Limited, to hold office until further notice and authorizing the directors to fix the auditor's remuneration. In relation to resolution two, the company received in total 204,152,678 proxy votes in favor, 72,857 proxy votes against, and 4,782,250 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number three, re-election of Mike Buck as a director. In accordance with the articles of association, I am retiring pursuant to Article 89 of the articles of association and offering myself for re-election. I now ask Mr. Gerry Smart to take the chair for the purpose of setting out this resolution to the meeting.
The next business is the re-election of Mr. Mike Buck, who is our Chief Executive Officer, retiring pursuant to Article 89 of the articles of association and offering himself up for re-election. In relation to resolution three, the company received a total of 208,587,939 proxy votes in favor, 418,846 proxy votes against, and 1,000 votes were withheld for the resolution. I now hand back the meeting to Mr. Buck to continue.
Thank you, Gerry. Resolution number four, power of directors to allot shares. The next item on the agenda is resolution four, the directors' authority to allot the ordinary shares in the company up to an aggregate nominal amount of $2,995,872.16. The full text of this resolution is detailed in the notice. By way of explanation, this resolution, if passed, authorizes directors to allot shares up to the aggregate nominal value specified in the resolution and will be subject to the preemption provisions in the article as amended by resolution five, if passed. As at today's date, there are 898,761,649 ordinary shares in issue. In relation to resolution four, the company received in total 206,629,959 proxy votes in favor, 2,351,826 proxy votes against, and 26,000 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number five, special resolution, amendments to articles of association, disapplication of preemption rights. The next resolution, which is to be proposed as a special resolution, would amend the company's articles of association to renew the authority to disapply preemption rights on the issuing of ordinary shares representing approximately 25% of the total issued ordinary share capital of the company. The full text of this resolution is detailed in the notice. A special resolution requires 75% majority of those voting to vote in favor of the resolution in order for it to be passed. In relation to resolution five, the company received in total 202,851,890 proxy votes in favor, 6,129,895 proxy votes against, and 26,000 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number six, special resolution, amendments to the articles of association, general meetings proceedings. The next resolution, which is to be proposed as a special resolution, would amend the company's articles of association to give the company more options for holding or adjourning general meetings for the required situation and allow shareholders to attend and vote electronically. A special resolution requires 75% majority of those voting to vote in favour of the resolution in order for it to be passed. In relation to Resolution 6, the company received in total 207,116,072 proxy votes in favour, 1,605,942 proxy votes against, and 285,771 votes were withheld of the resolution. Resolution number 7, special resolution, authority to make market purchases. The final resolution, which is to be proposed as a special resolution, would empower the directors pursuant to Article 14(1)(b)(3) of the Articles of Association until the conclusion of the next annual general meeting of the company to exercise all the powers of the company to repurchase ordinary shares in the open market with an aggregate nominal value of not more than 15% of the aggregate nominal value of the share capital of the company in issue as at the date of the notice of this meeting. A special resolution requires 75% majority of those voting to vote in favour of the resolution in order for it to be passed. In relation to Resolution 7, the company received in total 202,064,515 proxy votes in favour, 6,682,499 proxy votes against, and 260,771 votes were withheld of the resolution. Ladies and gentlemen, I declare the poll open for the purposes of voting on Resolutions 1 to 7. I appoint B. Tamir, Chief Accountant of Petromitad Group, who is in Ulaanbaatar, to act as scrutineer. Poll cards which provide for voting on the resolutions will now be distributed. Only shareholders or their proxies or corporate representatives are entitled to vote. Please now complete the poll card if you haven't already done so. If you are voting in respect of more than one holding, you should complete a poll card for each separate holding. If a person is proposing one to vote in more than one capacity, say as a member present in person, but also as a proxy or corporate representation for another member, or two, to vote as a proxy or corporate representative for more than one member, would they please use separate poll cards? If you wish to vote part of your holding for and part against a resolution, you can have two cards. If you have already lodged a proxy card, whether by post or otherwise, and you do not wish to change the way in which you voted, there is no need for you to complete a poll card. Indeed, you will help the scrutineer, who has to check against a double counting, by not completing one. Whether or not you've already lodged a form of proxy, it would assist if you could indicate on the poll card in the appropriate box. Poll cards should be completed by printing clearly the full name of the shareholder, including any joint holders, and the full name of the proxy, if applicable. Insert an X in the appropriate boxes to indicate your vote for or against the resolutions. Please insert the number of shares. You must sign the poll card. When you have completed and signed it, please hand it to the attendant near you. The result of the poll will be scrutinised and announced accordingly. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of today's formal proceedings. And we are now going to conduct a Q&A session on the general activities of the company, and management is here to try and answer any questions there may be. There were no questions received prior to the meeting via email, but we are able to take questions from those in attendance in London and those in attendance in Ulaanbaatar, and then those on the telephones. So are there any questions from those attending in person in London?
Yes. Relative to your phase one of the development, you say you'll proceed with and without partners. To what extent are your current funds available to do that?
Okay, good question, Dave. Thank you very much. Well, we raised money in July of 2021 to allow us to execute phase one of the development, which is the completion of Heron number one for production, and the surface facilities to go with that to allow it to be produced. The drilling of Heron 2 and Heron 3 in locations nearby, because we'd like them to be successful and to add to our production stream. Fair to say that the money we raised was just about enough to do that. We are currently, as we haven't started any operational activities, just preparations so far, we're still on target with that. But as I mentioned in my opening remarks, we're still trying to get confirmation from the contractors of exactly when they will be able to conduct the activity. Obviously, we hope that that will be in 2022. And we still have to negotiate the final prices for a couple of those services, which includes the fracking and completion of the wells as they after they're drilled. So we're hopeful that the money we raised will allow us to execute the program for which we raised it. We see no current impediment to that, let's put it that way.
And that covers the planned export and sales agreement?
Yes, yeah. We did sign a memorandum of understanding with PetroChina during the process to get the exploitation license, which was around the requirement, the potential requirement to actually unitize the field. We and PetroChina agreed that that was not necessary, given that there's only a small extension of the field into their area. And at the same time, they introduced some clauses to say, let's cooperate on the use of facilities. So we are in conversation with the regulator, MR PAM, about that, and we are hoping to open substantial conversations with PetroChina very shortly to work out exactly how that's going to work.
Very good.
Thank you. Any questions from the audience in Ulaanbaatar? No questions from Ulaanbaatar. I'll now hand over to the operator for any questions from those who have dialed in.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. So there are no telephone questions at this time, and I hand back to Mike Buck.
Okay, thank you very much. So as there are no more questions, I'm going to declare the meeting closed and thank you all for your attendance. Before I do that, I'd just like to advise everybody that I will be presenting at the London Southeast event next Tuesday, the 8th of March. If you haven't heard enough of my voice already, I'd be delighted to present to you again. And we're also planning to host a presentation on Investor Meet company platform towards the end of March or early April. We haven't finalized the date yet, but please look out for that. And it'll be my pleasure to update people as we go along. So thank you very much indeed for your attendance at this annual general meeting. I now declare the meeting closed.